Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus said, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this? Whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away.
Just think, as a ministerial intern, what kinds of things you suddenly get stuck having to do. And she's doing them so well, and we appreciate it so much. Even as we prepare for God's word this day, let's pray. Oh God, giver of life, we entrust our nation to your loving care. For you are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will. Lead us into a new time of life. We ask this through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, on this Independence Day weekend, it seemed to me that one of the things that, even as we rightly talk about, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of we the people. But it's also important that we be talking about who has the first claim upon our lives. And I think that's an important piece. So I got a question. How many in here suddenly see red flags when suddenly somebody comes up to you and starts saying really nice things about you? I mean, I'm the only one in here that has red flags that show up about that time. I figured any of us that had to survive the 60s and 70s, that was our automatic response. You start saying really good things about me, and I cut my eyes and check, okay, what's going to happen next? Where's it coming from? But the worst part of it is today, it's not just about people who come at you with all nice, wonderful things to say at you. I mean, we get buttered up from so many different directions. I mean, don't you love those convenience calls? Who are they convenient for? They come in at 8:55 p.m. Or you get the emails that have only been sent to about 100,000 people at one time. So you know it's a personal email just for you and for me. But folks, just to remind us all over again, the same old principle still is sound, and that is, if it's too good to be true, it's probably too good to be true. Jesus had been teaching in Jerusalem for several days, and a lot of people had come out to see this miracle man because everybody was talking about him. Everybody was saying, "You got to go see him. You got to go talk to him. You've got to go hear what wonderful things he has to say." Yet at the same time that that popularity was growing, there were an awful lot of people who had become very upset by some of the things that Jesus had been saying and some of the things that he'd been doing. Well, what had he done that got people up so upset? Well, it could have been little things like tossing the tables in the temple, questioning whose authority the religious folks were under. Maybe it was about speaking about the people who were in charge having ignored the very message of God. So we're told that these people set a trap for Jesus. And the trap was set, as my mom always used to say, catching flies with honey. We know that you're a man of integrity. You teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. And you don't worry about what others think about you. So what do you think? Is it against the law to pay taxes? Now, folks, they know they got him either way. Regardless of what he says, he's going to be wrong. I mean, if he says, don't pay taxes, now, the people in town are going to absolutely love it. They're going to think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, that's right. They don't have sliced bread yet. But if he does, those same little people are going to truck off to the Roman and say, do you know what he said? That you should never pay taxes to the government? So arrest him for treason. And if Jesus says, you need to pay your taxes, I can tell you, that's never, never going to be a popular thing for a populist leader. So they know they've got him. And Jesus asks a wonderful question. He says, whose face is on the coin? Folks, that's when I know Jesus is a true Southerner. You hadn't figured that one out yet? I mean, you know he's a true Southerner when he answers a question with a question. You going to go to the dance Saturday night? Well, is the Pope Catholic? You going to take that sweet young thing with you? Well, does a bear live in the woods? You know, the Southern Jesus just pops out. And when it does, and the people begin to answer saying, well, it's Caesar's face on the coin, Jesus says one of the greatest lines that I think is throughout literature. For he says, and I quote, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Give unto God the things that are God's. And all of the people were amazed at this leader. Give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Give unto God the things that are God's. I got a quick question. Who's got the first lien on your house? Who's got the lien on your automobile? Because liens tell us who has that first priority on house or car if for some reason we can't make the payments. But folks, I got to tell you, God does not take a lien upon our lives. How many of you grew up with the motto that said, God, family, country? Anybody in here? I was beginning to wonder if I was here by myself. I mean, that was the essence and the order that I was taught all along. God, family, country. Yet there was a March 2015 Barna survey that said American Christians actually believe the line should be family, country, God. Folks, that's us. That's Christians who have said the order of our priorities need to change from what we grew up. And so, folks, with me, I want to make sure that I'm putting first things first. Because that is called priorities. Because you and I, we can get caught up in the little things of our lives. Those things that so affect us that we miss out on what's truly important in life. And so how can I possibly make sure that I'm keeping first things first? Stephen Covey wrote, "Begin with the end in mind. A clear vision of our desired direction." Well, folks, I believe God has already shown us our vision and the vision that he has for us. We put it on the very front of all the bulletins. It's a mission statement. It's a vision statement that says, as disciples of Christ, we will passionately follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as we unite to promote and nurture spiritual growth among all God's children. How do we make sure that we're putting first things first? I think we do that by making sure that every decision that we make comes with a question. Does this decision allow people to passionately follow as we promote and nurture together the body of Christ? Every ministry that we create should come with a question. Does this ministry allow people to passionately follow as we promote and nurture together the body of Christ? Every Bible study that we start should come with a question. Does this Bible study promote or allow people to passionately follow as we promote and nurture together the body of Christ? Every time we gather for worship, we should always start our preparation for worship with that very same question. Does this worship experience allow people to passionately follow as we promote and nurture together the body of Christ? Every financial decision that faces us as church should always come with a question. Does this financial decision allow us to passionately follow as we promote and nurture together the body of Christ? Because, folks, have you gotten the idea yet? If we're going to do and we're going to put first things first in our lives, it's always going to be about how God is leading us to touch people, to touch those relationships, and to allow people to passionately follow the leading of the Holy Spirit as we unite to promote and nurture spiritual growth among all God's children. Jesus said it plainly. Give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and give unto God the things that are God's. So I guess our last question really becomes, what belongs to God? What belongs to God? Go to Psalm 24:1. Puts it pretty plainly. The world and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. The earth and all who live in it are his. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? And that's the word that God reminds us this day, even as we journey toward Independence Day. We are his. And we will always be his. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.